Grade 7 Conference, Lecture D, Another Look at Preparation. I have often said that the Waldorf schools in America, by and large, there are exceptions, but for the most part, we are a car running on three wheels. We have our great parents, we have the children, we have the teachers, but we lack one element which is so deeply essential, and that is the school doctor. And this was not something added on like frosting by Rudolf Steiner to the original Waldorf school, but Eugen Kolisko was an integral part of Steiner's whole conception of the school, that there would be a doctor visiting classes, observing children, working with the faculty. And I would say also in a way that that doctor most of the time would be the teacher's physician as well. And not just any old doctor, I mean, not just, you know, someone who's coming in with very nice ideas from New Age sources, but an anthroposophical doctor, that the remedies are like an extension of the subjects that we teach. That in both cases, we are really working with substance, which is being transformed, which is being redeemed in one way or another. So this is very important. And I would say that it might be good before you begin this year to try to see an anthroposophical doctor. Just get a checkup. You may, you know, be kayaking all summer long. You may be chopping wood or whatever you do, you know, working out at the gym. Great. Physical bodies, fine. Everything's in good shape. But we know that that is not always enough, that it's also those subtle areas where the physical and the etheric overlap. And this year in particular, in eighth grade as well, where the astral and etheric overlap and sometimes overwhelm even the strongest physical body, it would be good to have the sensitive eye and maybe constitutional remedies or something like that to get you ready for what is on the one hand the stimulating, incredible, active, dynamic life of the seventh grade classroom, but what is, on the other hand, a toxic atmosphere in which astral forces are very strong and can overwhelm and undermine the best teachers. And if you want to know, you know, how can I say something like this about your wonderful class? All you have to do is, at the end of main lesson, right as it's ending, go into the first grade classroom, or if you can't do that, at the end of one of their specialty classes, a foreign language class or something like that, walk in that room and take a deep breath. And on the whole, there's a sweet smell in that room. Okay, you know what I'm going to tell you to do next. What's it like when you walk in at the end of Spanish class, in your class, even in sixth grade, and it's not going to get one whit better in seventh or eighth grade either. What's it like when somebody walks into your class at the end of main lesson? They almost always will tell a teacher in the upper grades, "It's awfully stuffy in here. You ought to, you know, open a window." This is the kind of toxic quality of the astral body. Well, you know, what are odors? They're, you know, very small biological entities, bacteria that are, as it were, you know, digesting and giving off their excreta, particularly in the way of gases, and that's what we're smelling. Those are little astral beings. They are very, very close to being purely astral etheric in nature, almost not physical at all. And they are telling you that this room is so astral you can cut it with a knife. So that's what you are breathing. You are breathing in the astral bodies of your children. literally in terms of the odors, and more figuratively in terms of the movement of the astral body. They are breathing your astral body in, of course, at the same time. And this is why it's not bad to have a kind of checkup. It's not unusual that in 7th and 8th grade that a class teacher may suddenly find a personal crisis or some trying situation coming up, rearing its head suddenly, out of nowhere, it would seem, as though, again, the outer side, the 50% of one's own astral body, is now rearing its head and coming to meet you as though from outside, when it really has a lot to do with the inner circumstances of your life and of your work with the class. So be aware of that. You know, really look after yourself. Teachers often complain, of course, at all grade levels, but very, very much. It's chronic in the upper grades. How do I breathe? We're supposed to breathe. And, you know, how do I find some balance in my life? On the whole, you know, in the bigger picture, don't look for balance as a Waldorf teacher. One day when Waldorf education is the education that everybody is receiving, that all schools give in one way or another, then we'll be able to live the life of ease that an established public school teacher might have today, including early retirement at a substantial pension in many school systems. But that's not the case. If you've signed on for Waldorf education, you've essentially signed on for a war zone, a Michaelic war zone, to be true, with beautiful armor and shining swords and all of the valor and glamour that that brings. But nonetheless, you are not in a situation where very much balance is possible. I've been a Waldorf teacher. I taught for 25 years, did teacher training for on and off almost a decade as well. And I can assure you, never, never did I have a balanced moment in those years. You're giving your all, and to use a word that used to be very popular among Waldorf teachers, it does involve sacrifice. So the best you can do is to try to stay healthy enough so that you can do all of the work that's needed. And it's not to say don't ever enjoy yourself, but I would say when you enjoy yourself, that is also in the service of your students, in the service of the work that you're going to be doing. So let's say, you know, you go on a vacation and you're able perhaps to go to some nice town in Europe or something like that. Have your eyes open. Are you seeing anything that was built in the late Middle Ages or during the time of the Renaissance? If you go to a play, think of how you would adapt that for your class. If you're looking at beautiful clouds, think about meteorology in grade 8. Have all of this alive before you. You know, always be thinking about that class, and that's part of your 8 hours of preparation for every 1 hour of classroom time that you're going to bring. It's not just hitting the books for those hours. It's also, in a way, putting yourself in the service of what you need to know. And when that happens, remarkable synchronicities occur. And sometimes, you know, you're searching for some information on one or another obscure subject, and it comes to you as though from outside. Because the astral world now is living very strongly in and around you. And it's so for the children as well. And you're going to be meeting them in a very different way. So I'd say I wouldn't speak so much about balance, and I wouldn't speak so much about breathing, but I would say more, it's working. And it's finding joy in that work, so that that work becomes something akin to play, And that's where we really find our freedom. And that's where we really find the truest aspect of our health. And I would urge you again, this summer and continuing now and then through the year, immerse yourself in the world of your seventh grader. The music, the movies, the computer games, whatever. Look into that, experience it. Because for sure, what's there is mostly crash commercialism, horrible content, you know, junk, just stuff out there to make money on these easily exploited teenagers in your class. On the other hand, however, it is remarkable what sometimes makes its way into that morass, and you realize that here and there, something of the world of soul is speaking. Something of the world of spirit is trying to be heard. That youngsters at this age, the traditional age for the bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, confirmation, for the initiation in the old tribe, they are looking for ways to cross a threshold. They don't know what that threshold might be. The world tells them it's a sexual one, or perhaps a one involving substances. We know it's something very different. And it's remarkable that here and there, you will find that message coming across in that much dreaded and much defamed by Waldorf teachers media. So look into that. You may find that some of that also is refreshing, that some of that gives you a really bracing sense of confidence in the world in which these students are living and which they are going to be helping to form in the very near future. Don't ever say no to that world, because they're here in order to say yes to it. And in a way, because they've come from the spiritual world much later than you have, much more recently, we could say, because of that, they have living within them an idea of what this world really has to offer, that you may be more distant from that. It may not be so clear to you anymore. So by at least immersing yourself in all that surrounds them, in all that they live and breathe, this can actually be something akin to a breathing experience for you as well.